This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're rocking and rolling on a Monday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. No Michael Lombardi today. He's got a speaking engagement this week, but very fortunate to have the one and only Will Hill stepping in the clutch, as always, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. You can also catch him on the Bear Bets pod with Chris Felica. And we've already got 1 hour in the books, one more great one ahead of us. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to talk all things SEC football with another edition of Gridiron Goldilocks. SEC Media Days, by the way, underway in Dallas, Texas. Today, we've also got Mike Pritchard joining us in a half hour. Jam-packed final hour here on VSiN and DraftKings Network. And Will, heck of a weekend. Did you get involved in much of the soccer betting, Wimbledon, any of that? How'd you do?
Very lightly. I mean, it's especially Wimbledon. It's on in the morning. You want to have a little action on it. I tailed our buddy Gil Alexander. He liked the over, and he's been red hot. He was red hot this weekend. Of course, I jump in, and it's a three-setter. Djokovic just absolutely gets rolled over, although he was down 5-4, and Alcaraz was serving, and it felt like a formality. Djokovic actually came back, of course, tiebreaker, but not a lot of drama there. Alcaraz wins in pretty comfortable fashion. Lost that one. Didn't get involved in the Euro. Had draw on Copa, so won that one. All small bets, though. And, yeah. It was a run of overs and a run of... Really, I know a lot of people bet draws and bet unders, and that was doing very well in the Euros especially. And that run ended with the semifinal and the final, all 2-1, all a lot of scoring and a lot of overs, none of the draws getting home. But the draws and the under get back to the window last night as shenanigans pushed that game back a little later. I think it was supposed to start like 8 o'clock Eastern, and by the time we got going, it was like 9:30, something like that. I had it on in the background, but yeah, just wild scenes from Miami.
Shenanigans is an interesting way to put it. Like, just people literally going in the tunnels, in the vents. You see the video here on your screen, everybody busting through those opening gates. An estimated 7,000 plus people without tickets ultimately made their way in here. I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but like, I don't know how many people must have suffered injuries. You see people going through the ventilation, the tunnel system. People were scaling the outside of the building. Just a crazy scene out there in Miami. So hopefully, whether it's, you know, because this had CONMEBOL being the people that were in charge of organizing security, perhaps with the World Cup, Hard Rock Stadium, or these other stadiums that are going to be hosting events, recognize that the people that who do this on a daily basis should probably be in charge of this moving forward. Just insanity. Also insanity today, Will, I know you're a big college football fan. We talk about SEC Media Days going on, but the video game College Football 2025 out today. Are you going to be one of those people at 1 o'clock, as soon as we're off the air, 4:30 Eastern, whatever the time is, that you're hopping on the Xbox or the PlayStation, getting it going?
Do you play? I don't play. I've retired. I had a very long, very storied career. There is no Hall of Fame that I know for video games. At least when I played, I'd probably be in it because I was very good at Madden. You probably wouldn't believe this, but I never punted. I always threw it deep. I was very onside kicked every time. I had a very unique strategy, but I was very tough to play with, especially like I'm a Vikings fan. So I grew up with Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Jake Reed, a mobile quarterback, and like Culpepper. I was very difficult to defend. I'm retired though. Look, I've got kids and betting and jobs, and it's just hard as an adult. I don't know where people find the time. I admire it. I'm jealous. I wish I could just play video games, but I feel like I'm past the age. I feel like, and it's not one of those things. I forget the last time I played a video game, but it was, the buttons were all different. It's not like it's just, you jump back into like PlayStation or Xbox. It's a whole new world. So I'm retired. Like I said, a great career. I'm proud of what I accomplished in my career. But are you going to be playing this at all or no?
Probably not. I like to watch, though.
Probably not. You might be playing that.
So here's the thing. So you talk about how like Xbox and PlayStation has gotten too far away from me with all of the buttons now. My peak was like Sega Genesis, okay? Like I was all out on NES, Nintendo. So once we got multiple buttons and all this other stuff going on, video games just became too much for this human being.
55 years, you're younger than me. How old are you? What are you talking about?
I still have an NES to play Tetris every now and then. I just prefer it there than on a computer or on a game. I know. Okay, anyways, we're getting too deep into who I am as a person.
Anyways, we're not getting deep enough. My mind is blown. You're younger than me, and your last one was Sega Genesis. I need a story. I need the backstory here. What games did you play?
Listen,
like
I would try to play PlayStation with my brother, and we would play Madden together. And occasionally I would play this like BMX biking game that I thought was very fun. But it's just the button. There's just too much to focus on. And my brother would always just be yelling at me about buttons, and I couldn't take the pressure anymore. I was like, okay, maybe I'm not cut out for this life, Will. And that's okay. To each his own. If I did play, I'd probably just give Ollie Gordon the ball 50 times like Mike Gundy wants to. Is that too low hanging fruit? I don't know.
You would have no chance against me, by the way. I would just, you wouldn't be ready for the offense I would present. But yeah, it's look, you wish you could be young again, but it's just, I don't see how adults just have time to do this. I wish I could, but I don't.
There's a lot of media people out there on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, talking a lot of bleep. So we'll see if any of them can actually live up to it and post some scores and all of that. I'm excited. I think it's fun. It's just fun to have it back, you know? And I think ultimately at the end of the day, everything with NIL, it's just awesome to see for the people that are excited about it, the kids that want to play it, that it's there now. Today's the day. Also today is the day for the home run derby in Major League Baseball. We got the All-Star game coming up tomorrow. Very cool to see the rookie phenom Paul Skeens. He's going to be starting things off on the hill for the National League. But anything, whether it's the All-Star game or the home run derby today, that really stands out to you?
I have to be honest, I'm still recovering from the Sega Genesis comment. I might need the rest of the second.
Let me live my life in peace.
So shocked by the just, I don't even know where to go from here. I love betting the All-Star game. Home run derby to me, it's, look, you're betting on batting practice. I'm not saying don't bet it. I'm going to bet it, but I don't like it. I love betting the All-Star game, and I do it every year. I bet the under. I just think it's tailored towards the pitcher. The old saying, good pitching beats good hitting. And you have a lot of starting pitchers who are used to pitching 6 innings, 7 innings, 100 pitches. They pace themselves. They come in for the All-Star game. Everybody's watching them. They know 1 inning, 12 pitches, 15 pitches, throw their best stuff. And they're very difficult to hit. Plus, there's an unfamiliarity factor, and the unfamiliarity favors the pitcher. Where, let's just say you're Aaron Judge, and you're going to be facing Paul Skeens tomorrow. You never see Paul Skeens. He's in the other league. I know with interleague play, it's a little bit mixed, more mixed than it used to be. But still, you're not seeing the guys in the other league as much. You don't pick up the ball. You don't pick up the spin. So to me, everything about this favors the under. I mean, hell, this game was in Coors Field a few years ago, and it still was low scoring. So I think it's 4 in a row have gone under, 13 out of the last 16 have gone under 8. The under 8 is starting to get hit. And I don't know if DraftKings has these up yet, but All-Star Game MVP is a fun one too, because if you do think it's going to be a low-scoring game, 1-1 late, 2-2 late, the guys that are on the bench are the real long shots to win All-Star Game MVP. And we saw it last year. Elias Diaz got a home run late to win the game. He was 200-1. So a guy like Corey Seager's 50-1. You know, pick your guy. Freddie Freeman's around 40-1. If you shop around, some of these guys that are coming off the bench have a chance to just get a hit late, win it. So if you want just a little skin in the game, firing at some of these guys, 80-1, like Arias, I don't know, pick your guy. But some of these guys down on the board, really far down on the board, are super live, because if it is close, if it is late, and you get the big hit to win the game, you're going to have a shot. By the way, Seager, this game is in Texas, so narrative matters. I remember Mariano Rivera won this award in New York because he was retiring and he just pitched one inning and they gave it to him. So if Seager gets a home run, hits a home run, or gets a big hit in Texas, at 50-1, I don't think that's a bad bet either.
Okay. As for the game price, the AL minus 120 favorite, the National League even money, that total, as you referenced, sitting 7.5, and there is a slight tax to the under. Not much, though, just minus 115 at this point. As for the home run derby, we mentioned it earlier. There are some rule changes right this time around. Max 40 pitches instead of the usual timed, where people are just trying to get in as many pitches as humanly possible. And then instead of the head-to-head bracket style in the opening round, the four players who hit the most homers advanced to the semifinal bracket. There, Pete Alonso, who won it in 2019 and 2021, is a plus 330 favorite. He was knocked out in the first round of last summer's event. You got Marcell Ozuna there at plus 425, as well as Bobby Witt Jr., the same price. Ozuna, 23 homers, are second in the NL behind only Shohei, which is kind of a bummer. So no Shohei, no Aaron Judge would always be fun in a competition like this. You also have Gunnar Henderson there, plus 475, and you took a shot on Jose Ramirez. Ben Wilson talked you into it.
Yeah, Ben Wilson talked me into it. So if it wins, I get to cash the ticket and be like, oh, I get credit for it. If it loses, I just blame him. So this is a free roll for me. And I'll relay what he said, where, hey, he was in it a couple years ago. He had a bad wrist. He had to bat right-handed, where left-handed he has more power, and he didn't have a good showing, and he's motivated this time around to have a better showing. Do I think I have some, like, great bet or some edge at 13-1? I don't. And if you go to DraftKings, some of these books, because there's nothing going on in terms of betting, a lot of these books are going to offer promotions, boosts. So, you know, look into that, take advantage of that. at 13-1, there's just, it's such a random event that I want to have a longer number. I don't want to bet Alonso, you know, 3-1, even though he's the favorite. He's the rightful favorite. You could pretty much talk me into any of these guys. Experience does matter. So it's hard to come here the first time and win this just because it's different. It's different than any other event where, hey, it's just hit as many as you can, as quickly as you can, as far as you can. It does take some getting used to. So the experience does matter, but not my favorite event. I do like the All-Star game better. It's just, to me, this is it's very repetitive. It's very tedious. We're just, you sit there for 2-3 hours, just watch home run after home run. So I'll bet it. I'll watch some of it, but I don't know. Are you going to be into it that much?
We're different. This is an event I like. This is like the only major professional All-Star event that I really enjoy. I think that the Home Run Derby is super cool. I'm very excited to see Paul Skeens. I like the fact that there's, what is it, 31,
oh, I like the
32
All-Star game.
New
I like
All-Star
the Derby.
Players. But see,
I like the game.
I like the Derby. I think like there's drama to it as we go round to round. I am personally for it. I like it. The Jose
there's
Ramirez
a great
thing,
home run derby game on Sega. If you play Sega, there's a great home run derby game. I can see.
Hey, listen, I also like some some Nintendo 64. Get me some GoldenEye in my life.
All right, now we're talking.
You ever play BioFreaks? If you know, you know. That game is unbelievable.
There are very few things in life as satisfying as in GoldenEye, where you set off the timed mines or the proximity mines, and somebody walks into it and you just blow them up. That is
Let's
the best
go.
Feeling.
Oh man, yeah. Now we're talking. This is very much so up my alley. I don't know what happened. I didn't quit video games because I didn't like them. I just quit them because I became very bad at them very quickly. The technology outpaced my brain being ready for, I put my brain power elsewhere. Let's put it that way. All right. More important things. We got to hit the break. As we talked about SEC Media Days being underway, we're going to look at some SEC season win totals with Gridiron Goldilocks. Too high, too low, or just right. Will Hill will tell us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you want to bet the NFL smarter, it's time to get a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on our football special before the end of the month and get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl with our early bird discount of $175. That's saving you nearly 50% off the usual monthly price. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits data, proven betting systems and analysis from professional handicappers, plus 24/7 video content and our special edition betting guides, like our all-new NFL betting guide out now, jam-packed with detailed team, division, and conference analysis, plus season win totals, futures, props, awards, bets, and more. Our expert insights and in-depth coverage will keep you informed and help you make smarter, more informed bets throughout the year. Don't wait. Sign up before the end of July and get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with our early bird discount. You can sign up at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. In addition to the NFL betting guide, our college football betting guide will be out in short order. This past week out here in Vegas, we had Mountain West Media Days at Circa Resort and Casino, where I am broadcasting from, the Big 12, the Pac-2, if we want to call them. It was after hours with the Beavs and Cougs. Today,
Tupac.
There we go. Today, day one of four for the SEC doing Media Days out there in Dallas, Texas. Georgia is not only the favorite to win the league, but a national championship at +320. As a reminder, there are now 16 schools in the conference, with Texas and Oklahoma joining up. Texas was a college football playoff team a year ago. They're the second favorites to win the SEC and sit behind only the Bulldogs and Buckeyes to win a national title. And also, for those living under a rock, I got you. Nick Saban, no longer at Alabama for inquiring minds. He is still at SEC Media Days, but it's Kalen DeBoer taking over the organization there in Tuscaloosa. So it's been a transformative offseason, to say the least. The SEC is not exempt, Will, from all of this change that has been happening in the sport.
Certainly has, and it'll be interesting during the season, these odds to make the playoffs, because we're all in this for the first time together with these extra teams in the playoffs. Do the books know how to price it properly? Mm. A team loses a game early, do the books overreact, underreact? That will be interesting, and I'm in Connecticut, so it's harder for me to find. It's not legal here in Connecticut, which is so dumb. I can bet on like player props for like the backup running back for like, I don't know, Central Florida or McNeese State, but I can't bet on who's actually going to make the playoffs. It makes no sense to me. And then until one week right before, I think it was right the day of the selection, one book posted it. So I can't figure out the rules or why things are the case, but I do think there's going to be some opportunities just because the books haven't done it, and it's going to be hard to price, and it's going to be hard to wait. All right, Georgia loses a game early. What do we put them at to make the playoffs? You might get some good bargains, so that's going to be an interesting market to keep an eye on.
That's always a good tip, right, is that you don't have to bet these futures now or before the season. As the year goes on, there could be better betting opportunities, better numbers available. In the new CFP format, it is 12 teams this year for the first time, 5 highest-ranked conference champions, the next 7 at-large bids. So you're going to get SEC, Big 10, Big 12, ACC, and a team from the Group of 5 that will be in. Don't count out those G5 programs. And a big question has been, how many SEC teams can get in? As of right now on DraftKings Sportsbook, Georgia, Texas, and Ole Miss among the 7 teams in the country at DraftKings who are odds on prices to make the CFP. And let's start there at the top with Georgia. Why don't we, in today's edition of Gridiron Goldilocks, I'm going to throw a few season win totals or other markets at you.
Before we do that, let me ask you, Stormy Sportsbook, you make the line. Over under, how many SEC teams get in?
4, but you'd have to put the half somewhere.
That's the trick.
I think 4.5.
Okay.
Juice to the under.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're going to get a bunch. They're absolutely.
Does that sound fair? Is that a fair price? Does Will Hill? I mean, especially. I mean, I know you're not at the Will Hill on X, yeah. Right? So you're not that necessarily. But do you agree with that price?
I have to go over it again and really look in. That's why I threw it on you. And I think you're in the ballpark, though.
All right. Let's cruise through a few of these teams, though. And we're going to start at the top with the Georgia Bulldogs. Gridiron Goldilocks, is the season win total at 10.5. Too high, too low, or just right for the national champion favorites?
Probably right. They are at Alabama. You look at the schedule. Clemson early on, that should be a win. I mean, you just go through it. That's about right. Will they be motivated to run the table knowing that one or two losses gets them in? I wouldn't play under. I would play over before I got under, but it's about right.
I think that they will be motivated, particularly coming off of last season where they lose the SEC title game. I think they've probably got a little bit of, you know, chip on their shoulder from that experience. But let's go to Texas. So, like I said,
by the way, keep these kids away from the cars, the racing and stuff. My God, I mean, how stupid. I know kids do dumb things, and we all did dumb things when we were at that age, or you know, some people did, but. Oh my God, you got your whole life in front of you. You just, we saw what happened with the kid from Oregon that got drafted by the Vikings. Just be careful when you're driving. It just drives me crazy. I'm dumb.
Every player from Georgia, and you mentioned that about Kyrie Jackson, how 2 weeks after that goes down is Jordan Addison found in his car asleep under suspicion? Like, it's just, we'll find out more information about that, but it's just crazy, especially coming from the same team of somebody that just happened to. But but Georgia too. Georgia, like, that's, hello, what just happened to this team last year? Let's go to Texas, though. Made the CFP last year. Year one in the gauntlet that is the SEC. Second shortest shot to win it all. Their win total also 10.5. Their SEC title odds plus 320. You'll look at these numbers. Too high, too low, just right.
Too high. I would go under, and I mentioned it earlier. Hey, at 10.5 with that schedule, if you beat me, you beat me. I just think, look, at Michigan, at Oklahoma, a game against Georgia. Florida has a tough schedule, but that's a good team. At Arkansas, do you really trust? At A&M, which is a tricky game, you really trust Sarkisian? I'm not sold there yet. You have the whole thing with Arch Manning, where if Ewers doesn't play well early, will Arch be in the conversation? I don't know. And I'm still amazed. It gets forgotten because they didn't end up winning the game. But imagine if they had stolen that game from Washington. I know it gets forgotten again because they lost, and it was like 1 o'clock on a Monday morning or a Monday night into a Tuesday morning, the way Washington almost gave them that national semifinal game. And they really should have stolen it at the end. But again, the schedule, I don't know if I completely trust the coach to get there. And if you look at that schedule, it's just very hard to get to 11 wins. The under's juice for a reason. To me, that's an underplay.
Yeah, plus 140 to the over, minus 170 to the under there on Texas. They're minus 235 to make the 12-team playoff, plus 750. Like I said, third on the odds board to win a national title. How about Ole Miss here? High expectations for them coming off an 11-2 season, but the two losses were ugly to Alabama, which the score being a 2-touchdown final does not indicate how bad they really looked in that game. And then they got dogged by the dogs in Georgia, but the schedule does set up nicely for them this year. Win total set at 9.5, minus 115 to the over. Too high, too low, or just right?
Just right. I lean towards the over. They remind me a little bit of Miami, where I love the talent, but I don't quite trust the coach. I mean, Lane Kiffin's one of these guys, and Franklin's one of these guys at Penn State. They just never seem to win a big game. They never seem to step up. And when they step up, they're never up to the challenge of beating the teams that are at or above their level. They're just a bit of a bully. So I don't like the odds at 6-1. They are stacked with talent. I love Dart. And I know he's a trendy, popular Heisman guy because the schedule is manageable, especially early on. He can build some of that momentum, and Lane can run up the score. I'm sure he would love to get a Heisman Trophy winner, and he likes to run up the score anyway. So I get it. It's 15-1. It's not the sexiest thing, but it would be a lean towards an over. I think the schedule is pretty manageable here, and the talent, especially these guys coming in from the portal, which is always tricky. You're talking sometimes different levels of competition, things like that, but from everything you read, the portal is where they really upgraded the talent. They're going to be outstanding on offense, a little better on defense. To me, this is an overplay.
Yeah, number one portal team in the country this year. Listen to this non-con. Furman, Middle Tennessee State, Wake Forest, Georgia Southern, first 4 weeks of the season. They host Kentucky, at South Carolina, then at LSU week 7. They should be undefeated going into Death Valley. Host Oklahoma, at Arkansas. They get Georgia at home, and then at Florida, whose win total is like 4.5, host Mississippi State to end the season. Like, very manageable, to your point.
Yes, and I like these teams that have the schedule, if I'm betting the over, I like it, that have the early schedule that's easy because you don't beat yourself up. I mean, it seems like Florida week in, week out, mentally it's tiring, physically it's tiring. You need some of these breathers. When you string a few of these breathers together, you can get to October, November, you're still fresh, and that's when the schedule gets really challenging. But to me, that is an over. I haven't bet it yet. I tend to bet more unders than overs, but they do look like they're good for 10 wins probably.
Okay, we only got – we'll hit two more here in the next minute 30, so let's go a little bit quicker. But Alabama win total 9.5 first year without Saban. Kalen DeBoer steps in. It's plus 120 to the over. But 9.5, too high, too low, just right.
Just right. I would lean towards the over just because I don't like betting against DeBoer. I thought they might, when Saban left, I thought they might just get completely ransacked in the portal. They lost some guys, but they hung on to more talent than I probably thought. You get Georgia at home. If you're going to bet over on them, if you're optimistic on Bama, just take like the 9-1 to win the SEC and figure, hey, if they get to an SEC title game like they did last year, I can hedge out. It's about right. I would lean towards the over just because I have so much respect for DeBoer.
He's an outstanding recruiter too, and now he's at a place with more resources and more talent. Yes. He's 104-12 his last three jobs, a proven winner everywhere he's been. One more. LSU defense was brutal last season. They lose the Heisman Trophy winner, 3 first-round picks. Win total set at 9, too high, too low, just right.
Too high. I'm going to go under. I don't know what they're going to get out of the quarterback position. And that's a fan base. If they're losing, you know, 3-4 games, they didn't hire Kelly and give him all that money to lose 3-4 games. I wonder how that's going to play. I would go under.
He's obviously a great coach. I know Garrett Nussmeier has showed flashes. They're going to have talent. The offense, I think, will still be fine without those marquee guys. But, I mean, the defense was brutal. Like I said, secondary has not gotten much improved on paper. There's still so much more about the SEC to discuss. We only got through a handful of teams, but we're going to hit the break. Mike Pritchard is going to join us coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Will Hill in for Michael Lombardi today. I'm Stormy Bonatoni as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We are getting to the finish line here on the Lombardi Line today, and we want to finish strong, and we're very grateful to have the one and only Mike Pritchard join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. VSiN lead NFL analyst, spent nearly a decade at wide receiver in the league. Also, the most valuable player on the Colorado Buffs national championship team in the early 90s. And we were talking about SEC Media Days the last segment. Big 12 Media Days were out here last week, Pritch. First of all, how weird is that even to hear Colorado and Big 12 back together again?
I know. I think, Stormy, everybody wants to be in Vegas for some reason or another, right? Yeah. But, you know, Big 12 out here was crazy. But Colorado, our roots go back to the Big 12, really. You know, we go back all the way to the Big 8 as well. So college football has evolved. We know that. The Big 12 is what it is right now. And highly intriguing, though, that the Buffs are back there in a front and center of another conference. Last year it was the Pac-12. That thing blew up. This year, front and center of the Big 12 now.
Trish, what do you look for year two with Dion? How many wins? Because the schedule doesn't do them a lot of favors. A lot of tough games on the road. Schedule early isn't that easy. What are you looking right. for in terms of a record here?
Well, I jumped all over the over last year, Will. I mean, I thought the talent that they had, that was going to exceed expectations. And it did, barely, but it still got there, right? This year is interesting. You're showing 5.5 right now. What was it, 6.5 before? That thing has moved up and down a little bit. But I know this about the team, and this is some good intel on people, boots on the ground out there in Colorado. The talent is there. It really is. Coach Prime has done a great job of assembling the talent with a program that's been dead for a better part of a decade, right? But the only question moving forward, which I think is the easy part, but there's some analysts think that it might be lacking, is that the coaching, from a quality coaching staff, is that in place to cultivate this talent and to help this talent grow? If it is in place, they're going to exceed that win total. But if it's not in place, then that's when that bet kind of gets iffy to me. So I'm going to wait and see. I know the schedule is rough. North Dakota State, I mean, good Lord. I don't even know why that's on the schedule. But then you got the big boys with Nebraska and CSU back-to-back before you even get in a conference. So it is a daunting schedule, though.
I was laughing at Dion when he was on the podium for media days and said he was giving grief to his athletic director. Hey, you couldn't give me a layup week one. Like, this is the FCS team that we're playing here. But to that point, you had a sweat, by the way, on that season win total, though. You got there. You cashed that ticket. But losing 8 of the last 9 games, I'm sure, was not on the bingo card of how you saw that playing out. Speaking of how Dion, though, was at Media Days this week, I wanted to get your opinion on something he said about the difference between his wins and the pressure that he is under. Take a listen.
I'm judged on a different scale. My wins are totally different than your wins. Your wins, you just judge in football. That's why I have to start out and give you education and academics and so forth. I have to give you those things so you understand there's a greater scope. I can't win 9 games and our GPA suffers. Our GPA can't be high, but we lose another 8 games. We can't not go and grab high school players, and you got a bunch of guys in the portal, out of the portal, that's getting incarcerated. My wins are different. We have to win in every area. That's the way we're judged, and I'm cool with that.
How'd you unpack his comments there, Pritch?
Well, there's a lot of unpacking right there. Digging through the Louis a little bit right there, Stormy. You know, he's under a different microscope, sure, if you will. I mean, he's always known that. There's no excuse for it, really, because he kind of brings it on himself. But that's the standard that he operates within. I mean, I think when he embraces an athlete that might have a questionable past, or maybe they're questionable in the future, even moving that way, you know, you got to keep that guy on the right or in the right lane, right? I mean, you kind of have to coach it differently. Or if you have a Travis Hunter or Shedeur Sanders, I mean, you kind of have to massage that a little bit. He's a candid person, if you understand his candidness, you know. So what he was saying is that he's judged differently, and he is. I mean, I think he realizes that. Everybody else realizes that because of the spotlight, because of the shine, because of all the attention, because of all the flamboyance. I mean, all that stuff is in the ingredients of being judged, and he understands that. So I think he was trying to convey that a little bit.
Pritch, let's switch gears to the NFL. You look at the Rookie of the Year odds, and it's all these quarterbacks. I think the quarterbacks are always going to get the attention, but I want to ask you about Marvin Harrison Jr. because right. I think he's getting forgotten about a little bit. He's got a quarterback who's at least a capable player in Murray. How much do you like Harrison? How special do you think this could be? And is he worth a shot? I don't know, 7-1 here, Rookie of the Year.
Well, Will, he's a special player. He really is. I mean, he's a total package when it comes to that position. I think he's going to have some he's got great mentors around him with Pops anyway, but certainly some influences right there with that organization. The only thing that I'm reluctant with in terms of Rookie of the Year for him is that I don't know what their offense is going to be. And I don't know Kyler Murray, outside of the air raid offense, what type of quarterback he's going to be, right? I mean, Kingsbury was there for a reason. Kyler Murray was at Oklahoma for a reason. I mean, that style of offense that he's played in ever since high school, I don't know if anybody knows how to understand Kyler Murray in a different offense or in a different scheme, if it's going to be different. But it's certainly not going to be familiar to him. And therefore, that's why I'm reluctant. Marvin Harris, I mean, he is incredible. He is an incredible player, incredible talent. There's nothing wrong with placing a bet on that. The only thing, does it come together, though, with the quarterback?
Caleb Williams, the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year, plus 135. Jaden Daniels, plus 550. Marvin Harrison, the lone non-quarterback in the top five options here at plus 650. Also, in terms of his yards, there is prop up there at over or under 1,500 receiving yards, 6.5 touchdowns. You can get plus money to the over from that standpoint as well. Pritch, we also had a poll that we did on the show yesterday asking which team might be the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, obviously trying to make history as the first Super Bowl era team to three-peat and get three straight rings. For you in the AFC, is it still the Kansas City Chiefs, or is there a team you think is a legitimate threat to them in the conference?
Yeah, it still is the Chiefs. They're going to reinvent themselves again. I think Patrick Mahomes is poised to put up some incredible numbers with the speed that he has on the field again. But the Ravens, they're going to be in the mix. They're an honorable mention to me because I want to challenge people with this. And I know everybody kind of gravitates towards the strength of schedule and all that. But the Steelers, tell me how much different the Ravens are from the Steelers. And I'm talking about the Steelers with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at quarterback potentially, right? Arthur Smith did a lot with Ryan Tannehill and that offense in Tennessee. I always thought Tennessee was built like the Steelers when they made that run and they challenged the Chiefs early on in Patrick Mahomes' career. I think the defense is really, really stout, too. I'm surprised that the Steelers are really low. And I know a lot of people are looking at the strength of schedule. But what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that team went 5-1 in that division last year, the toughest division in football. The Ravens got there because they had a better overall record. But the Steelers with a quarterback, they didn't even have an offensive coordinator or a quarterback last year and still won 10 games. I just think they're kind of poised for it. But certainly, you got to throw the Ravens in there, maybe the up-and-coming Houston Texans as well.
Rich, break the tie here because I'm very high on the Jets. I love the talent. I think Rodgers will play well enough, like the offensive line. Stormy's a little more skeptical, a lot of questions. Where do you sit here with the New York Jets?
Well, you know, the Jets, there's one quarterback that elevates the roster, and that's Patrick Mahomes. We know that. We think, and we've seen it before, Aaron Rodgers can elevate a roster. He's got a great defense. I'll say this, the history of the game is in favor of the Jets because when you have a Hall of Fame and waiting type of quarterback, it looks pretty good. You know, Tom Brady with a great defense. You think about Peyton Manning with that great defense in Denver when they won a Super Bowl. You think about even the great John Elway back in the day when he had a great defense when he was aging. When you have a Hall of Fame waiting quarterback, Hall of Fame and waiting type of player, and you team that up with a good defense or a great defense, the results are pretty good. So I think Aaron Rodgers is in that situation. We'll see if it comes together, though. A lot of coaching to overcome, I think, out there in New York. But if there's one guy that can do it, it is A-Rod.
That's a great point, Pritch. I've said it a few times on the program over the last couple months because Robert Saleh's number for Coach of the Year has continued to get bet down. He's the second shortest shot behind Matt Eberflus on the odds board. Yeah. But for me, if the Jets have success, it's not because of Robert Saleh. It's because of Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's not because of Nathaniel Hackett and Robert Saleh, yeah. Right? So,
No. Yep.
So appreciate your time. You are awesome. Thank you for joining us. And we'll continue to check back with you as we lead up to the NFL season.
Sounds great. Y'all have a great day.
It's Mike Pritchard, everybody. But let's go down the Jets train a little bit when we come back here on the Lombardi Line from Egypt to California to New Jersey. Aaron Rodgers is back, and he says he's feeling good. Should Jets fans agree? And there's a couple more little nuggets here around this team that I think are interesting. We'll get into that as we close out this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. See, I don't usually do Sundays. I got tripped up there for a second thinking it was Tuesday. It's Monday, baby. We'll be back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't checked out the new and improved mobile-friendly version of VSiN.com, now's the time. Each and every day, best bets locked and loaded from all of our VSiN show, guests, analysts, experts, updated betting splits, exclusive articles, including regular columns from our own Michael Lombardi. You can check out odds based on state, betting tools, betting guides, and so much more. The VSiN NFL betting guide out now. The college football betting guide upon us. Head to VSiN.com today. Now, a theme of the show today, with Will Hill stepping in for Michael today through Wednesday, has been a lot of Jets talk, which is fair, because even though, Will, at the end of the day, we both think the same, we just have bet it differently because I think one side of the if on the Jets' health and you think the other side of the if. But over the weekend, quarterback Aaron Rodgers spoke for the first time since missing mandatory minicamp, and he discussed his recovery process specifically. Here's Aaron.
My Achilles feels good. Yeah, I felt really good at the end of last year. Then there's kind of, there's always that kind of plateau part. It's just about getting back into it. I felt good all spring. Had a nice OTAs. Had a beautiful trip to Egypt. And this is like the last marker. Summer's over on Sunday.
Had a beautiful trip to Egypt. But yes, summer's over. The one thing there that I do think is relevant as it pertains to his Achilles injury versus, for sake of argument, Kirk Cousins, who's also coming back, right, is he injured himself 4 plays into game one. He has had ample time to recover. We thought at one point if the Jets somehow made the playoffs that he was going to try to hustle himself back. So he's ready to go, and that is certainly a positive for Jets fans.
And I get him confused, but it's a different leg, too, where it's more the land he legs on. It's not the one he pushes off on, which is, I think, from what the doctors I've read, and I don't know enough about it, but that's, he's got the better scenario. It's not his push-off leg, and it's and like you said, we're talking about a full-year recovery. God knows we heard plenty of last year, when's he going to return? Christmas Eve, Washington, which was the dumbest storyline of the entire year. What a total waste that was. He was never coming back. That was just a complete waste of airtime. What were we talking about? Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. I expect him to play well. You had him in your top five quarterbacks. I'll just say, if he's going to be a top five quarterback this year with the rest of that team is going to be the one seed because they are stacked top to bottom. I don't love the coach. I don't love the offensive coordinator, but offense, defense, better offensive line. They are loaded. You could tell me injuries, but hey, you can tell me injuries with any team. If Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, and look, Mahomes doesn't get hurt. Rodgers just did get hurt. Rodgers older. It's not the same thing, but if they're healthy and Rodgers does play to that level, watch out because the schedule's not that difficult and they are just a loaded, loaded roster.
Listen, I agree. I mean, even the down year, his final season in Green Bay coming off the two MVPs, he still, like, that season, by majority of the league standards, even though it was one of his worst statistically of his career, would be great for the majority of quarterbacks right in the league, right? So
played with a bad hand, too, right? A bad thumb or a bad hand, yeah, too, which, I mean, if that's the case and age is not that much of a factor and you're getting even 80, 90% of the player that won the MVP a few years ago, yeah, remember the rest of the team wasn't great around him. On defense, he had Adams and not a lot else. This team is pretty set. I mean, the fact that, and I keep going back to this, they won 7 games with quarterback play. They got 3 quarterbacks last year. None of them might ever throw another a pass in the NFL. Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian. I mean, Boyle, forget it. Siemian, forget it. And, Wilson maybe throws another pass in the NFL. I don't know what the rest of his career looks like. He's never going to be a starter again, you wouldn't think. So they still won 7 games. So, I mean, how much better does Rodgers need to be than those guys? I mean, he can wake up out of his sleep in Egypt and get them to 10 or 11 wins.
I wonder if he was on another darkness retreat while out there. It's very bright in Egypt from what I understand. But yes. No, like another layer to this, though, which I think is a fair thing to bring in, is we still haven't seen him behind that offensive line, though. And I know it's retooled and you upgrade that unit, which we saw 13 different line combinations and 65 sacks allowed. And we expect that to be better. But how's that group going to gel and come together?
Yeah.
Are these players that have had recent injury history going to stand up tall from that standpoint as well? So, you know, there's just a couple factors in there that I'm thinking of. I'm not the captain of the Aaron Rodgers haters club, okay? Like you said, I had him in my top five for a reason. I recognize he's an extremely talented quarterback. There's just some layers to this and some food for thought from the folks at home.
I completely agree. I'm taking the optimistic view.
Yes.
I think they're going to be good. I think they're easy to dismiss. I think their past history of the fact that they're the Jets and they're easy to laugh off and, you know, nobody takes them serious as a franchise. It's been a loser franchise. Let's face it. They've been a loser franchise. They've actually, in my lifetime, back-to-back AFC title games with Ryan, a few more playoff runs with Herm Edwards. They got to an AFC title game that they should have won with Parcells. They haven't been that bad, but when you've missed the playoffs for 13 years, they're an easy punchline. They're an easy target. I think that is part of that's playing into it. So I'm optimistic, but I do admit there's a version of this where, hey, Rodgers just looks old. He gets hurt again, and this goes off the rails, and everybody gets fired, and this turns into a complete bust. The possibility of that happening is not zero. It's far from zero. That's certainly in play. I completely admit that.
And, well, we haven't even brought up all of the off-the-field stuff, which Aaron Rodgers is great for us in the media because we always have something to talk about. And in addition to his injury update, which we got, we were very grateful to get this past weekend at the American Century Championship, he also made another comment that's gone viral when he was asked about how Davante Adams is going to look under Luke Getsy's offense here in Vegas. Take a listen.
You think Luke Getsy's going to utilize Davante Adams good in the new Raiders offense?
I love Luke Getsy. He's a fantastic coach.
Awesome.
And I love Davante. I can't wait to play with him. Again.
No off-field distractions, Will. None of them. What are it? But credit Garrett Wilson, who was apparently asked about this at an event that he did for kids this weekend, and he said he is all for the Jets to trade for Davante Adams should that work out in the future. I'm not sure how the financials would pull that together, but they're all in on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Why not try to add another piece to an unhappy Davante here in Vegas, right?
You know what? You can say what you want about Rodgers, and I don't love everything about him for sure. He does have a sense of humor, and he was actually pretty likable. If you watched Hard Knocks last year, he was pretty likable. He's sarcastic. He's got like that dry.
That's why
sense of
I
humor.
Drank the Kool-Aid, Will. That's why I was on board.
Right? I watched it with my wife, and I was like, why do people not like him? He's likable. He's joking around with teammates. Remember, he ran into his old coach. He's like, man, you got super fat, and he's funny. He's got like the way friends make fun of each other. He is pretty likable. Then he says some of the stuff that's off the field that. A little out of nowhere, but it's besides the point. I do think the Adams thing is possible because, I mean, where's that Vegas team going? Adams not happy with his contract. I just don't know the timing of it. Like, they're going to trade him before the season. Usually, all right, if they go 1-3, 2-4, maybe that makes sense, but usually teams don't trade like their best player or one of their best players, I don't know, before the season starts. That'd be very unusual. So I don't rule it out happening. I can't see that it's imminent. It just seemed like he was trying to stir it up.
Yeah, that would be just an embarrassment of riches at that point. Garrett Wilson's quote, by the way, when asked about the potential addition of Davante Adams, said, I see that. I'm excited. I'm with all of it. Anyone we can get into the facility to help this team win games, I'm with it. And he's one of those. Have you been watching any of Receiver, by the way, on Netflix?
No.
So I highly...
Actually, a little bit. I have an issue with it. No, go ahead.
What's the issue?
They don't, it's all fluffed up from the view of the player. Like, they don't show Kittle dropping the pass. They don't show Kittle when he's joking around in the Super Bowl when the guy who's blocking gets the fumble. It's all like everything is rosy, and they don't show any of the negative. It's all very, a lot of this new media, it's from the player's point of view, none of the negative. It's all positive. That bothers me. So I've watched some of it, but I've noticed that with not just that, but a lot of it.
I haven't gotten that far in it yet to see the Super Bowl stuff, but I mean, that's what it is. It follows the player. It's the player's experience. So
you can be honest, though. I thought you said, have I been enjoying it? I watched a little bit of it. I want the real Hard Knocks back. I admit that's run its course a little bit. They don't show the players being cut anymore. There's a lot of content.
It's not that they don't show the players getting cut anymore. The Jets didn't want to show players being cut anymore. The Jets were all about, this is how I'm going to have
my
fingerprints on it.
I thought that was a universal thing.
No,
okay.
It's
much more better. It's a human interest story. Everyone,
I agree.
You want to see people get fired. How do they react? Are they mad? Are they, hey, I'm going to show you?
And it makes you root for the guy when he gets picked up by another team. I totally
Absolutely.
Agree with you. I think that was one part of the Jets Hard Knocks I did not enjoy, was that they decided that they wanted to eliminate that part of it. I want to close on something fun here. While we're on the Jets, Sauce Gardner tweeted the other day, golf is harder than football. And then, so I don't know if we have the video of him with the drive here, but let's play this video because look at him go. So hits an awesome swing here. Great shot. Throws the club. But here's the part of the celebration that I wasn't mentally prepared for an athlete who's getting set to go to training camp. He just pulls out a backflip out of nowhere on the tee. Ah,
wow.
I get nervous about that stuff. I understand you're athletic. I understand that's very cool. The backflip looks harder than the swing, in my opinion. But he said, I never thought I would say this. Golf is harder than football. Can you believe that? Those words coming out of a National Football League player's, I was going to say mouth, but I guess fingertips.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. I've heard that. I mean, golf is very hard. I have heard that.
How are you?
You have the skill set. No, I don't play. If you have the skill set, if you have like the size, speed to the NFL, obviously it's not easy. None of these sports are easy, but golf, from what everyone says, is difficult. Can you do that backflip? Would you be capable of that or no?
I if you asked me pre-torn meniscus, I could. But these days, 2024, elderly Stormy Bonantoni, I've never even attempted it, and I won't. I could do it on a trampoline still. I did. I was a reporter for Slam Ball last year, and I was whipping out some flips on the tramp.
Yes.
Former gymnast, but at 5'10", you know, it wasn't a career for your girl. Well, this was a very fun edition of the Lombardi Line. I appreciate you. We're hooking up together for the next two more days here on the program. Keep it locked right here on VSiN, though. Coming up, Sharp Money is next, and if there's still room to fill your cup with football, the Ross Tucker Football Show is on DraftKings Network.